Dear brethren, this is a helpful time for us to see clearly and be deeply convicted. It is feasible for believers to learn and grow and have an abiding sense of true peace and well-being under all circumstances, and how to go about it. It is feasible does not mean automatically it will be true for every believer, but we need to see clearly and be deeply convicted. It is feasible for us to learn and to grow and also have an abiding sense of true peace and well-being, whatever the circumstances, whatever we may be going through, knowing to recognize that it is feasible, but also how to go about it, and ultimately to live in this way so that it can become a reality in our lives. Whether it be the current pandemic or whatever we may go through in the future, to know we can and actually learn and grow in all situations that we go through, that this can be true, that it is feasible for our personal lives and also together in church life. But there's one vital area we must pay attention to if we want to fare well under all circumstances, and that is pure in heart. This sharing and the preceding two sharings on this subject can help us appreciate why the Apostle Paul tells us the goal of his instruction is love from a pure heart. The goal of Paul's instruction must be something very important, and that is pure heart. Love from a pure heart. And why it is crucial for believers to continually look to the Lord to help us nurture a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality. This is essential. We must look to the Lord and continually look to the Lord to help us to nurture. We must nurture a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality. We need to learn how to go about it and also how it can become true for our lives. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will have the freedom to speak to each one of us, to grant us spiritual insight into the truth, that our hearts may be receptive to what you have to say to us, that our faith, our lives may be firmly grounded in the truth you revealed in the scriptures. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. It is very important and helpful to be deeply impressed with this area of truth. We can become properly motivated to commit ourselves to live in this way when we can see clearly that the biblical revelation tells us the heart is the source of the positive and negative moral meaning of our thoughts, words, and deeds. It's in the heart where the purpose is formed, decision is made, where we exercise faith. It's the core center of man as a moral being, from which flows forth true worship and ministry. If this is true, and the scriptures clearly reveals to us that this is the truth, then we must pay much attention to nurturing a heart that is pure. One who is pure in heart is a person whose heart is washed, cleansed, and consecrated to God. There are two major aspects. One is a state of heart, clean, cleansed, no stain, no defilement. The other is the direction of the heart, the intent, purpose, will. What motivates us? Pure in heart is a heart focused, immersed in God and God's righteousness. Love, light, and truth. Immersed, focused on God's kingdom, God's will, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. There's oneness of heart with the heart of God. Commitment to God, God's will, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And that is why one whose heart is pure will have to seek to understand what is God's will, what has God revealed regards to the fulfillment of his purposes, and commit our lives accordingly. There is no negative or selfish intent. We are not harboring anything contrary to God's will. The pure heart is not tainted by fleshly motives, intent, and purpose. And from such a heart will flow forth love, light, truth, and life. Or rather, love, light, truth, and life. Love, light, truth, and life flowing forth from a pure heart, in word and deed. It is flowing forth, being manifested all the time. It is the foundational basis of a life of spiritual health, growth, witness, fruitfulness, and effectiveness in participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes. This is what every believer would or ought to regard as most important: spiritual health and growth, witness, fruitfulness. Pure in heart is what God looks at, what God looks for in a person. And so it should also be what all the time we should be concerned about for our own lives, and also what we look for, what we are concerned about, what we look at in a person. What counts? When the Spirit of God helps us to gain spiritual insight into this area of truth, He will help us understand why the Lord Jesus tells us, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We will now reflect further on the far-reaching implications in the lives of believers who are pure in heart, including the meaning of, "for they shall see God." Being pure in heart is crucial in our relationship with God. We will now reflect on what it means by the expression, "see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The prophet Isaiah says he saw the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne." But many years later, the apostle John says, "No man has seen God at any time." John chapter 1 verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time." The scriptures, on the one hand, tells us the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, but at the same time, the Lord told Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." Exodus 33 verse 11, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. But verse 20 of the same chapter, the Lord told Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." So there's a sense in which we see God, but in another sense, we cannot see God. God is spirit. We cannot see Him with physical eyes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27 tells us Moses endured as seeing Him who is unseen. So God is unseen in the sense that He is invisible, so no one can see Him. But yet Moses endured as seeing Him. That means it's not with physical eyes. We cannot with our physical eyes see the being of God, but perhaps some manifestations. God is spirit, and we cannot see Him with our physical eyes. But the scriptures does talk about spiritual insight and spiritual seeing and the heart being enlightened so that we can come to know God. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 15 to 19. Verse 16, Paul mentioned about his prayers for believers. Verse 17, "That God may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him." So first of all, for us to really know God, see God, there needs to be revelation by God. The Spirit of God needs to reveal to us so that there can be a true knowledge of God. That is why Paul prayed, including verse 18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know." And then Paul went on to talk about knowing the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us who believe. But it's enlightened so that you will know also includes knowing God, revelation of the knowledge of God. And it's the Spirit of God who enlightened us, the eyes of our heart enlightened, so that we can see, we can know God. So the Spirit of God can help us to see God, to know God, who God truly is, not just as a mental concept, but spiritual revelation, spiritual knowledge of God. The Apostle John tells us the same thing in 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. There is a Spirit of God who helps us to know that we abide in the Lord and He in us. It is the Spirit of God who enables us to know, to see that God abides in us and we in Him. Verse 13 of 1 John chapter 4. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. So the Spirit of God who helps us to know that we are abiding in God and He in us, to help us to know, to help us to see that God abides in us and we in Him. God is pure and God is holy. If we are pure and holy, we can see God through eyes of heart enlightened. In our spirit, in our heart, we can experience, we can know God, we can have deep fellowship with God. God is absolutely pure, absolutely holy. We are not. The meaning, quality, and degree of purity of our hearts have a direct bearing on the depth and intimacy of our fellowship with God and our knowledge of God. Not here talking about mental knowledge of God, but experiential, true knowledge of the being of God and true fellowship with God. So, our hearts are not absolutely pure and holy, but the quality, the degree of purity, it will have a direct bearing on the depth and intimacy of fellowship and knowledge of God. And that is why it is crucial for believers to continually look to the Lord to help us nurture a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality, so that the depth of our knowledge of God, the intimacy of our knowledge of God, fellowship with God, will continually grow in meaning and quality. I will now go on to highlight important aspects of our lives and see how faring well in all these important areas, they are all closely related to having a pure heart. I'll briefly consider with you 8 related points. The first point, very important, the Spirit-filled life. The Apostle Paul exhorts all believers to be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. It is God's intention for all His children to be filled with the Spirit, but not all are filled. That is why Paul exhorts believers, be filled. But this be filled is not once and for all. I understand the text here, be filled with the Spirit, has a sense of be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This subject has been covered in detail in the series of messages in Appearance and Reality, AR 179 to 186. They are available in audio as well as edited text messages and carefully substantiated from the scriptures. And I'm also looking to the Lord to have these 8 edited text messages compiled into a book, perhaps with the title, The Spirit-Filled Life. But before that, the Lord willing, I intend to first publish the book, The Death of Christ. A brief summary of how to be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and also the crucial issue of being pure in heart. I will now give this brief summary, how to be filled with the Spirit. it's vital that we prepare our hearts, that is, a pure, clean heart. A, the heart needs to be cleansed, and then B, is the direction of the heart, committed to God and the will of God. Commitment to love, light, truth, righteousness, and a heart not harboring any negative intent, not tainted by fleshly motives, anything contrary to the will of God. When we prepare our hearts in this way, we can then ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, believing, trusting God in our hearts that He desires to, and He will do so for those who have prepared their hearts in this way. And subsequently, we can continue to nurture a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality. And from time to time, in our walk with the Lord, we reaffirm our commitment to Him and ask Him to forgive us, to wash away our sins, and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. When we live our lives in this way, we will continually grow in the Lord. And there will be increasing, richer experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The second major area, enjoyment of God's blessings, God's guidance, and His undertaking. The Lord Jesus tells us, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This includes the enjoyment of God's blessings, blessed are the pure in heart, and also meaningful, intimate knowledge of God. We reflected just now on the meaning of seeing God, not with physical eyes, but intimate knowledge of God, relationship with God, and together with that, there will be assurance of God's undertaking and guidance. Because God is pleased with us, His blessings is upon us, He approves of our lives, and we are walking with Him, aligning our heart with His heart. And so God is pleased to undertake and to guide us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 describes such a life. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. This means with all our heart we believe in God, not half-hearted. We are trusting God with all our heart, believing Him with all our heart. We trust Him, which includes trusting His will, His wisdom, His knowledge, His love, and also His guidance for our lives. And we are committed to obeying Him and His will. That is the meaning of faith in God, trusting God. Not just with our lips we say we trust Him, but we are not committed to obeying Him. That is not true faith. True faith in God, trusting God with all our hearts, includes commitment to obey Him and His will. And we are not leaning on, we are not depending on our own understanding. We are trusting God and God's wisdom and God's will and His guidance and committed to obeying Him. In verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. In all your ways acknowledge Him means in everything. We are looking to the Lord to guide us, to undertake for us, and to enable us. And this leads to the assurance of God's guidance, enabling, and sovereign undertaking for a good outcome. That is, if verse 5 is true, we are trusting God with all our heart. We are committed to living out His will. And we are looking to Him to guide, to undertake, to enable. And God is pleased to guide, undertake, and enable the life of such a one who is pure in heart. And Romans chapter 8 verse 28 assures us that such a person can have the conviction, whatever the circumstances, whatever we go through, God is causing all things to work together for good in the life of such a one who loves him and who is committed to God's purpose. And Romans chapter 8 verse 29 tells us, especially in the direction of being conformed to the image of Christ. As we go through various situations, God is transforming us, and that is of utmost importance. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul urges believers to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is our spiritual service of worship. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So there's commitment, consecration, worship. And when this is present, it moves in the direction of transformation. Not conform to the world, but be transformed. The transformation will take place, and a major aspect is the renewing of the mind. And as the mind understands the heart, the conduct will all flow in the direction of the truth that the believer has come to recognize. And this results in knowing, experiencing, living out the will of God, so that you may prove what the will of God is. This is the knowledge, the experience, and the living out of the will of God. And you'll find that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. When we live in this way, we live out the will of God, we'll find that the will of God is always good, acceptable, and perfect. Because God is always good. And He is the unchanging, perfect God. And His will always be good and perfect. But there's a problem for those who ask God for blessings and guidance and undertaking, but there is no commitment to God and the will of God. That means there is no purity of heart. What they want is blessings, but without lordship of God, the lordship of Christ. They do not want problems. They want to avoid disasters, but without the inconvenient discipleship and the cost of discipleship. With their mouth, they ask God for guidance, but their hearts are not committed to following God's leading, God's will, except where to them it is agreeable, it's according to their inclination, they will do those things. But when it's really difficult, when there isn't that commitment to do the will of God, whatever may be. The third important area for every believer is a set apart time with God each day. When there's purity of heart, then in our time with the Lord, there can be communion with God, and there'll be meaning and joy of fellowship, of worship. During such times, the state and the direction of our heart is vital. The degree of purity of our heart, and also the nurturing of this purity. In that context, there can be deep fellowship, deep joy and meaning and worship of God. And during this set apart time, another important area is the absorption of truth, spiritual nourishment and growth. Here again, the purity of heart is crucial. The Apostle Peter tells us in chapter 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, that is putting aside all that is negative, that is pure in heart. Then verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. In our hearts, there needs to be a longing for the pure milk of the word. But when you want to long for the milk of the word, what God wants to reveal to us, the truth revealed in the scriptures, God speaking to us is pure. But we need to prepare our hearts that the heart is also pure in state, in direction. And then as we long for the pure milk of the word in that way, he says, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. We will grow well. We will be able to understand the truth. The Spirit of God will have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us insight into the truth, and to help us to absorb the truth, so that we will grow well in the direction of spiritual maturity and increasing transformation, conformity to the image of Christ. The fourth area is the quality and power of prayer. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, he says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." When we maintain a pure heart with a clear conscience before God, then we have confidence when we approach God, when we are in God's presence, and there will be effective prayer. Our heart does not condemn us means we have a clear conscience before God. The heart is pure. And then we have confidence before God, and the confidence that God hears us. There will be effective prayer, because it goes together with a heart that's committed to the will of God, obedience to God, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Such a heart is committed to God, to obeying God, to doing his will, and doing what is pleasing in his sight. All this is part of the life of one who is pure in heart. The fifth area, quality and effective of witness and service flowing forth from a pure heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." When we watch over our heart with all diligence, it moves in the direction of spiritual richness and reality and meaning in our hearts. And the crucial issue of being pure in heart and increasingly pure. That's why we need to watch our heart with all diligence. We need to work at it so that the heart can be nurtured and increasingly pure. Then from it will flow springs of life. Relate this point number 5, to points 1 and 2. In fact, all the various points we are considering, the 8 points, they are all interrelated. Points 1 and 2. Point 1, the Spirit-filled life. And the second point, God's guidance, undertaking, and blessings. When there's purity of heart, filled with the Spirit, experiencing God's blessings, God's guidance, God's undertaking. And together with that, God's empowering and God's enabling, there will be positive spiritual impact flowing forth from our lives. There will then be effective witness and service. We've noted from such a heart will flow forth love, light, truth, and life in word and in deed. There'll be powerful witness. There'll be effective service. Sixth point, purity of heart. A pure heart is a basic condition for benefiting from many of God's promises and assurances in the Scriptures. Often believers quote the Scriptures and express the assurance of what? Of having those, of benefiting from what has been recorded in the Scriptures, the promises of God, the assurances in the Scriptures. But many of these verses and promises in the Scriptures are meant for those who love God, were committed to God, committed to obedience to God. If we are not committed to the will of God, then those promises and assurances may not apply to us. For example, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Often believers can wrongly claim and be assured from what they quote of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that God will cause all things to work together for good. So whatever they go through, whatever happens to them, they say, God will cause all things to work together for good for them. But it may not be so. If they are not living their lives properly, they are just living according to their own desires, indulging the desires of the flesh, they are not serious about obeying God. And then all kinds of things may happen to them that are detrimental to their lives. Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good, is to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So there's a love of God, there's a commitment to God, the will of God, and seeking to work out God's purposes together with God. Then whatever the circumstances we go through, yes, we can trust God to cause all the things to work together for our good. Likewise, our labor is not in vain. So we seek to serve God, and we may quote the verse, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. But notice, it's labor in the Lord. It doesn't mean whatever we do in the name of service to God will be positive, will be helpful. It's possible for believers to do many things that are not helpful and can even be detrimental to God's work. But it's labor in the Lord, when we are committed to God, walking with Him according to His guidance, His enabling. A heart that's committed to God this way, purity of heart in direction, then yes, our labor in the Lord will not be in vain. And this is true for God's approval, God's blessings, God's provision, God's protection, God's guidance, experiencing God's love, joy, and peace of God, bearing good fruit. There are many verses in the scriptures that talks about these things. And we can have this assurance of God's approval, blessings, provision, protection, guidance, His love, His joy, His peace, and bearing good fruit, whatever the circumstances we'll be going through, if we maintain purity of heart. If we are committed to God, walking with God, living a life pleasing to God, then that all this will be true in spiritual reality and not just outward appearance of things. We can be assured. And even if outward appearance of things, many things appear not to be going on well, we can be assured if we make sure we are truly walking with God. Then our labor in the Lord will not be in vain. And we can trust God to undertake for us that His blessings will be upon us, that is feasible to enjoy the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of the Lord. And as the Lord Jesus tells us, abide in me, I in you, you'll produce much fruit. So the assurance of bearing good fruit, whatever the situation we may be going through, we can bear good fruit. But it may not be fruit that others may be looking for, or even we ourselves may have the wrong expectation of fruit, but true fruit in the eyes of God, true fruit from the perspective of God's kingdom, true meaning, contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom, what is flowing forth from our life, there will be the positive meaning of love, light, truth, and life. All this will be flowing forth from our lives when there is purity of heart and commitment to God and the will of God. The next point, number 7, increasingly conformed to the image of Christ. When we have such a heart, God will have much freedom to speak to work in, and to transform one who is pure in heart. The life of a believer who has this kind of commitment, this kind of spirit, this kind of attitude and receptivity, God will work in and through his life. And he will become increasingly conformed to the image of Christ. We looked at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 just now. Such a one will not be conformed to the world, but he will be transformed, including the renewing of the mind. He will be increasingly conformed to the image of Christ. The last point, number 8, readiness to meet our Lord. When we live in this way, we'll be ready to meet the Lord. We can, like the Apostle Paul, look forward to the crown of righteousness. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, that he had fought a good fight, he had finished the course, he had kept the faith. And he says, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So when we live our lives in this way, maintain and increasingly look to God to increasingly deepen the purity of heart, then our heart will be ready. We will be faithful stewards. There will be faithful stewardship of what God has entrusted to us, because we are living out the will of God. There will be faithful stewardship of the mystery at the heart of what God has entrusted to his children. What has been in his heart before the foundation of the world. His plans, his intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some brief concluding remarks. If we want to fare well in life, we must continually look to the Lord to help us nurture a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality. This is vital. This is very important. Continually look to the Lord and to nurture a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality. And it is feasible to do so whatever the circumstances we go through, if we love the Lord and we are walking with him. Then whatever the Lord sees fit for us to go through, yes, we need to exercise care. We shouldn't be foolish to walk according to our own desires, our own thinking. We need to depart from situations where God does not want us to be in. But whatever the Lord sees fit for us to go through, whether it be this pandemic or whatever may lie ahead, then it is feasible to fare well, whatever the circumstances. Yes, believers who love God do go through trials and difficulties. But the trials and difficulties the Lord sees fit for us to go through, not those that we are going through because of our own foolishness, but difficulties and trials that God sees fit for us to go through, they are actually contexts that are helpful for purification of our hearts, for the nurturing of positive qualities, including patience, steadfastness, deeper quality of love, goodness, faithfulness, deeper fellowship with God. All the positive things that God wants to bring about in our lives, as well as dealing with the negative, the deficiencies in our hearts. When we go through well with God, the difficulties, the trials that confront us. That is why the Apostle James tells us to count it all joy when we go through all kinds of trials and difficulties. James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. Because they are meant to help us to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The process of purification of our hearts, the transformation of our lives, our growth in moral, spiritual purity, spiritual stature, and increasingly conformed to the image of Christ. So being pure in heart is the foundational basis of a life of spiritual health, growth, witness, fruitfulness, and effectiveness in participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes and the transformation of our lives in conformity to the image of Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will be pleased to help us, that you will have the freedom to continually help us nurture a heart increasingly pure in meaning and quality, that there will be increasingly oneness with your heart, that our hearts may more and more manifest the truth revealed in the scriptures, that we will indeed be faithful, effective stewards of all that you have entrusted to us, so that we will bear good fruit in every good work and be ready to meet you. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.